Welcome to the Portage County Safety Council podcast. We hope you enjoyed today's safety chat.
Hi, it's Mike from the Portage County Safety Council. I'm here with Nick Coya from the PWC.
Hi, Mike.
We're here also with Lori Cook from AAA. Lori, can you tell us a little about yourself and what you do for AAA?
Yes, I'm the traffic safety advisor for AAA East Central and Northeast Ohio, which means I cover all of the traffic safety activities in about 11 counties, which could be bike safety, older driver safety, and so forth.
Well, we brought you in today, Lori, because as you know, the weather's changing, the snow is falling, and we had some questions for our listeners. The first being is, what should we do different in the wintertime when we are driving?
Well, I think motorists generally have to realize that driving in the wintertime is not like driving at any other time. You can't go the speed limit. You can't do things as fast as you did. You really have to be a better planner. You have to give yourself more time, for example, to leave for work. If it takes you 30 minutes to get to work, it might take you an hour to get to work under extreme winter conditions. So you have to do things more slowly, more deliberately, plan ahead, be patient. We tell our drivers from time to time, pack your patience when you leave for work or when you're going someplace because you're going to need it.
I like that. Pack your patience. That is a great line for some of our managers to use. And I think part of that comes into, as we were discussing earlier, about the flexibility of management and having an understanding that when bad weather happens, not having that stressor on our drivers that they have to be there by that 8 o'clock punch-in time.
I think companies and managers need to probably look at changing some of their policies during winter driving. If your employees are supposed to be there at 8:30 and the conditions are just horrific as far as road closures and blowing and drifting snow and things that we see typically in Northeast Ohio, make allowances, maybe a grace period to allow employees to get to work, period. It's very difficult when an employee has to worry about being on time. They're going to tend to drive more erratically. They're going to speed, and they might end up in a crash, which is not going to be good for the company.
And that's just going to slow down traffic for other drivers coming in, and then we may lose a valuable employee for a day or potentially forever, depending on the type of accident.
Oh, sure, absolutely. That certainly could be the case.
What are some of the common traffic mishaps that we can avoid when driving in winter?
People in the wintertime generally think they can drive at the same speed that they can any other time of the year. The speed limits, if you know anything about what's called the basic speed limit in Ohio, it means no matter what's posted on the sign, you have to drive at a speed that's reasonable for the conditions that exist. 35 miles an hour is the speed limit on a nice, sunny, perfect day. That may not work on a winter day where the road's covered with ice or you have black ice or you have blowing, drifting snow or windy conditions that blow existing snow across the road. So you have to slow down. Or maybe you need to leave earlier, or maybe you need to leave later, given what times of day that you're going to work. Maybe you're a day shift worker, maybe you're a night shift worker. But you have to obviously be a better planner in doing all of those.
So you're telling me that the 35 mile per hour sign is not a suggestion. It's more of a top of the line, the fastest you should go in perfect conditions. But when winter weather hits, we may need to be well below that speed limit.
You have to adjust. We kind of like to use the letters AAA to mean you have to anticipate, adjust, and assume nothing when you drive because winter is very different. You have to prepare yourself. You have to prepare your vehicle, and you have to be prepared for just about anything. So, and you're interacting with other cars all the time. There are lots of vehicles on the road, and they may not be in the best mechanical shape. Not everybody may have the best tires on their vehicle like you do. Or if people run out of windshield washer fluid, they can't see as well. So those things to put in place ahead of time are going to be absolutely beneficial to everybody.
Yeah, and I think anticipation is a big piece. And I have noticed because the winter weather started to hit, what I like to call our submarine drivers, those who like to clear off just enough so they can get out the driveway. But really, what should we be doing with our fleet vehicles at work and our personal vehicles about snow removal? Is it just the windows or is it in the entire car? How do we handle those problems?
You want to clear snow off the entire vehicle. If you leave a couple inches of snow on the hood of your car, for example, and you're driving down the road, as you pick up speed, you get your own little personal blizzard on the top of the hood of your car, and that obstructs your vision. You can't see any longer. So you want to clear not only off the hood, but off the trunk, and particularly off the top. If you have a 6-8 inches of snow off the top, and you suddenly accelerate, that snow is going to hit somebody behind you, or it's going to cover your rear window. Or if you slam on the brakes, or you brake even gently, some of that snow may slide down the window in front of you and obscure your vision as you're trying to drive. So clear all the snow off the entire vehicle, the headlights, the taillights. The idea is you want to be seen coming down the road.
Yeah, we talked before this podcast. One time I'm driving down the turnpike, going under the speed limit. I think I'm doing 55. It's a 70-mile-an-hour speed zone. And all of a sudden, there's a semi in front of me. And a piece of ice, the size of half a sheet of plywood, comes flying right toward and almost hits my hood and lands right in front of the car. So can you give us a little advice of those kind kind of situations that could pop up spontaneously. What to do? Do we back off? Do we change lanes? Do we try to avoid certain types of vehicles like semis while we're traveling?
The general rule of thumb, if you want to be safer in the wintertime, given those factors, is that you want to stay away from anything that's bigger than you, and particularly semis. If you think about a tractor and a trailer, that they're sitting outside all night. They're not garaged.
Right.
So when it snows, all of that material gathers on that vehicle, and drivers aren't clearing that off of the trailer itself. It's impractical to do that. So if you look at bumps in the road, particularly expansion joints and bridges, where it just takes a little bit of bump for the trailer to go over, that's enough to talk about that plywood size sheet of ice that you see coming at you. So you want to increase your following distance. You know, even change your lane, hang back, and just generally stay away from them. Because if you just went over a bump or you see them go over a bump, something is very likely to fly off of the top of that vehicle.
Speaking of bridges, aren't they typically an ice hazard anyways due to the drainage?
Well, they are, because bridges aren't connected to the ground. The ground holds the heat longer, but when you drive across the bridge, cold air circulates all the way around the other side. So that's why you'll see those signs that say bridge surface freezes before the roadway does. So
sure.
You want to back off the gas, and sometimes it's even better just to coast across a bridge.
So anytime going across a bridge or coming under an underpass,
absolutely
slow down. And use caution.
Absolutely slow down and use caution.
And so that brings me to the next question that I have for some of our listeners is, what happens when we start to slide? How do we deal with that? We can anticipate as much as we want, but sometimes things just go awry. What is our reaction to that?
Well, you know, given the fact that you probably have maybe good tires, good brakes, you're paying attention, you're not a distracted driver, and all of a sudden you find your car going sideways, you want to take your foot off of the gas immediately, but not quickly, because taking your foot off the gas too abruptly is almost the same effect as braking. It could make the skid worse. So not only to do that, you can downshift into a lower gear, but if you find yourself skidding, the easiest way to explain this to drivers is you want to continue to look and steer in the direction you want to go. So if your vehicle is drifting to the left and that's not where you want to be, you need to back off the gas slowly. You need to look and steer over to the right, and generally your vehicle will straighten itself out.
So all those complicated ideas that we were taught back in driver's ed school 20 years ago, we really kind of put that to the wayside just to say, let off the gas and then look in the direction we need to go.
If drivers can generally think about the concept of looking and steering where you want to go, and probably the best analogy I could give is to a downhill skier. If you watch those skiers in the Olympics go down the side of a hill and they're going through those gates at just a speed that's unbelievable, they're looking at where they want the tips of their skis to go. They're not looking at the poles. They're not looking at the obstructions. They're looking where they want those tips of their skis to go, and that's how they manage to do it. And after a while, they don't even see the gates. So a driver kind of has to liken themselves. I don't mean you should drive fast and get through things, but look and steer where you want to go.
And I have a question as well, Lori, in respect to that is, what about the different types of weather that we're dealing with in the services? Is it different for ice compared to snow? Slush, does it handle a little different? Is all the same kind of common sense of back off the gas a little bit, pay closer attention? Is there any difference between the type of weather?
It's all of that, but I think when you have slush, and if you look at when somebody leaves to go to work, I always try to think of telling them, see what the temperature is. If it's hovering around freezing, everything freezes up at 32 degrees. So if things are hovering around 31 or 32, 34, and you know things are going to change rapidly, you have to be prepared for that. And when the temperature is almost at 32 degrees, you actually have water on top of ice, so things are generally a little bit more slippery. You've heard the term black ice. We don't call it that because it's black. It's because it hasn't frozen solid yet, and you can see the blacktop road through the ice. Kind of like when you put ice cubes in the refrigerator, and you go to check them because you're impatient, and they haven't frozen solid, and the water's still clear. When they're frozen solid, they turn opaque, or they turn almost white. So the same concept is there.
That's a good example.
Is that you're going to have to realize what the surface is that you're driving on. Cars now, and the technology is changing to the point where when you have electronic traction control, which is a really enhanced ABS brakes, and it's either going to brake on and off and put it on the wheel that needs it and back off the wheels that don't need it to straighten somebody else in a skid. But until every car has that on the road, the rest of us are going to be charged with being responsible enough to figure out how to straighten ourselves out and how to appreciate those different types of road conditions that we do have out there. But yes, they are a little bit different. If you can leave a little bit later when, you know, the plows have maybe been out for an hour and they've salted the road or they've pre-treated it or they've brined it or whatever, that is a help, as well as if employers could let employees leave early when they know conditions are starting to get really bad.
But what about snowplows? I hear different things about people going in. Should I stay behind them and let them clear the way? Should I get around them because they're going so slow? How far back should I stay off there? Any tips you got for our listeners in regards to that?
Yes, they're a very large vehicle, and you need to stay far back from them. You can, with the new green and white and amber flashing lights, they're a lot easier to see since ODOT has come out with those, but stay away from them. You don't want to be adjacent to a plow when they're trying to plow, because that snow that's piling up on their blade may get dumped on your front windshield and you may be blinded temporarily. Or you don't want to get close enough that you're being pelted by the salt that's coming off the back of the truck as they're dispersing it on the road, or liquid de-icer. So stay back from them, stay behind them, unless they get far off to the right and you have multiple lanes where you could easily pass. But if you're behind a snowplow, the conditions obviously aren't going to be that you would even want to pass to begin with.
So I think we need to leave our listeners with this thought. If you were a manager of a group of drivers for your organization, what would you do to better prepare them for the winter months that we're about to embark on?
I would put as much information in front of them as possible. If companies had an employee bulletin board, I would certainly go to the extent of posting information, you know, getting some information from AAA, the Safety Council, winter driving brochures, having a speaker come in and talk to employees. Just people sometimes just need to be reminded about what to do. It's not that we don't know how to do this. We just forget about it. And then the first few snowy days of winter, we're all trying to remember how we were supposed to drive in this stuff. So employers would really benefit, I think, and so would their employees, from just putting a lot of information out there and a lot of tips for their employees.
All right. Well, we thank you for coming in today and talking with us. Appreciate your time. And as usual, we hope you listen to our podcast and share this with your friends. And everyone, be safe.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed today's podcast. To learn more about how your company can earn up to a 4% Ohio BWC premium rebate by becoming an active member of the Portage County Safety Council, please visit our website at www.portagecountysafetycouncil.wordpress.com. The preceding information is for entertainment purposes only. Views expressed may not reflect the views of any affiliated or sponsoring individuals or organizations. Listeners should carefully weigh information provided and seek advice from an appropriate professional before implementing. Listener discretion is advised.